because we've got to go with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Overgrown versus overflow. Let's look to the Lord. Father, we're thankful, O God, that we stand secure on the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, that our assurance is based on what you have done for us and not what we do for you. But Father, we are thankful, Lord, that you give us the opportunity to serve you. And Father, we ask, Lord, today that in this time of sharing, that the Spirit of the Lord will make clear what the prophecy is saying, what the Spirit of God is saying prophetically, what the Spirit of God is saying and confirming in his word. Lord, what the elders and the others are saying, Lord, let it all flow together that we may be one. That we may come into agreement with the word. That we may take ownership of the word. That we may take it into ourselves. It may become one with us and that we may grow in the word. Lord, today we ask in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen. Y'all agree? Well, thus far, that's good. We'll see where you go from here on in. Amen. What I'm talking about this morning is the message is called Clear the Way and You Can See God's Overflow. Where'd you get that, preacher? I'm going to tell you. Amen. The other day I was at my brother-in-law's. Now, not this brother-in-law, but one that's kind of looks like him a little bit, and that's my other brother-in-law. Amen. And they have different names because they were able to come up with different names. So that one's John. We've prayed for John. You all know John because we've prayed for him so much here at Harmony. I phoned him last night and I asked his permission to share this. And he says, listen, if you can use my brokenness for the kingdom, go for it. I said, that's a beautiful way of saying it, brother. So the other day, my wife and I went over to Gatineau, up the Gatineau River, to my brother-in-law's place. My brother-in-law had just taken possession again of his residence because through a marital dispute and issues and legal things, he had not been able to really step foot on his own property for almost 2 years. And so it was kind of a bit of a shock as we came to come and to help him try to figure things out and where to start cleaning up the yard and whatnot, because really it had been left more or less abandoned for the last couple of years. And as we got into things, we realized that this had been more than just a couple of years. When they moved there first, up it's on the side of the mountain there, the end of Chelsea, where Wakefield begins, and they're on the side of a mountain, really. You know it if you've been up there. The Gatineau River is down there, and up the side of the mountain is there's pockets of houses here and there, and theirs is this beautiful place that 8 years ago when I last was there, you could see the Gatineau River over there, and there was a gorge that goes on the other two sides. So you got the Gatineau River, you got two sides, a gorge, and then a waterfall that comes down 100 feet up the mountain. But when I got there, I couldn't see the Gatineau River. I couldn't see a waterfall. I couldn't see a gorge. I couldn't see anything because it had all grown up all the way around. All we could see was sumac trees and some elm, dying elm trees, and of course lots of young ash that had grown up 20, 30 feet high. They didn't grow up just in a year or two. You couldn't see anything. And so being a little overwhelmed, and so was my brother-in-law, he got to cutting grass, and I could hear the waterfall, but I couldn't see it. Bring it to the next slide. And so I got this really good pair of clippers, you know, and it's such a tragedy. I don't know where to start. So what I'm going to do is I can hear the waterfall over in this direction, and I am just going to go, and I'm going to start cutting down trees, you know, until I can see it. It seemed to get into my spirit that I just needed to, if I'm going to do anything today in this heat, I'm going to go and cut a pathway so I can get to see that waterfall again. So my good wife was in the house. I only have one wife, by the way. It's my good wife. And my good wife, she was in the house, and she would have killed me if she had to see me, because I went to the car and I got a rope, because it's on a ravine, all right? A very steep incline, and these trees had grown up, so just cutting the tops of them wouldn't have done anything. So I threw a rope around a post and I tied it onto my belt, and I lowered myself down. Yeah, real athlete of the year, you know me. That is a jest. And so I got down there, throw the rope around, got down there. Josiah was at the top of the ravine, and then I was going down, cutting these things down. He'd grab the tops of them, he'd pull them up, cut them in half, and then we piled them up in a big brush pile. And after about an hour in the heat of doing this, I pulled myself up, and I took my camera, and I could just see part of the water flowing down. The other side of the mountain, other side of the hill is Crown Land. This is the only people that could see this site would be those that have this property and have that particular view. So I went over and I got my brother-in-law. I says, come over here. So I got John to come, and I said, we stood there, and I said, look at that. Now, my camera's Mickey Mouse, all right, I get it. And I just took that picture. And I said, let's look at that. He said, you know, he said, we were so busy coveting everybody else's stuff and lives that we forgot what we had. The next night was prayer meeting. So I'm here at Harmony Church. And a prophetic word, a word of prophecy is brought forth. Now, at Harmony, we're not, yeah, and the Lord says, you know. It was just simple. A word comes forth in the prayer time. Somebody brings a word. It was Brother Roger Patterson brought forth a word, and it said this, clear the way, and you can see my overflow. Well, right then when that prophetic word came, I just went, whoa, glory. And I went to my phone, which I had, and I went and looked up that picture that I had took. And I looked at it, clear the way, and you can see God's overflow. I said, the Spirit of God is speaking to the church. And so at that point, I interrupted the prayer meeting, and I just passed my picture around. It says, this is what the Spirit is saying to the church. My brother, he had no idea what was going on. We hadn't even had a chance to talk before the service. It was just a prophetic word that came forth. I said, look, there is the manifestation of that word right there in the physical. Clear the way so that you can see my overflow. When I got onto that property, you see, I could hear the waterfall, and I knew from years gone by, that the Gatineau River was over there somewhere, but I couldn't hear it, but I could hear the waterfall, and so that's where I went to make that pathway through the bush so that we could see it there. You see, God's stuff is already there. The problem is not that God ain't doing stuff, it's the problem is that we're not seeing it. Amen? God's got lots he's going on. I'm telling you what, he's doing stuff in people's lives. He's doing stuff in people's hearts. Yes, he's doing stuff in this nation of Canada, and he's doing stuff every single day. I tell you what, there is an outflow of the Holy Ghost that's going on all over the place. We just can't see it sometimes because we've allowed stuff to grow up in front of us. Like my brother-in-law said, we were so busy coveting everybody else's lives that we forgot what we had right here. So the Spirit of God just kind of revealed three things. Hey, that was convenient. Thank you, Spirit, for being such a good preacher. But anyways, three things that we can see that God is doing if we would clear the way. The first one just is this here. Clear the way and you can see God's overflow of protection. I draw you back to way back in the Old Testament to Deuteronomy chapter 11. In Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 4, the situation is they're recounting what God has done. Hey, that's a good thing to do in the church house, amen? We like to testify of what God has done. It is an important part of the church when we testify of what God has done. And it can be fresh, it can be new, it can be he did it this morning, it could be he did it this week, but it can also be that he did it 25 years ago. Just please have a little more to say after that, you know. I mean, don't just live 25 years ago. Don't live 40 years ago. Or don't live 50 years ago. You know, have some good stuff happening now. But those are still valid testimonies, amen. You're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Keep sharing what God has done. Oh, it's wonderful when I have new victims, like at camp. What do you mean new victims? I get to tell my stories. And Sister Skuse, where are you, Junior? There you are. And I'm confusing a few other ladies when I say Sister Skuse, but you know, Junior, right down the bottom of the totem pole, right there she is. You know, they challenged me to a storytelling contest. And they were going to rate it between 1 and 10, and so they picked random topics. And they thought they could just pick a topic that, you know, would stump me. And I greased them every time, didn't I? I have a story just about every kind of foolish thing under the sun. Amen. That has some biblical connotation to it. But here the story is Deuteronomy 11, verse 4. Here is the prophet Moses recounting the things that have taken place, but yet God is revealing it to him. And it says, he made the Red Sea to overflow your enemies as they pursued after you. Sometimes we are so busy running away from our enemies that we don't stand and turn around and see what God is doing. Amen? He is protecting us. He is doing something. You don't need to run, and you don't need to flee, and you don't need to run away, and you don't need to hide your head, and you don't need to do this and whatever else, because God is doing something wonderful. Turn around and see what God is doing to the army of Egypt. Turn around and see what happens. Then, when you turn around and see what happens, you'll be like Sister Miriam. Amen. What did Sister Miriam do? She grabbed hold of her tambourine, praise God, and she got up there, and she began to beat that tambourine and began to praise the Lord, and she began to lead the children of Israel into a victory chant because they saw the overflow of God at work on the enemy of the Egyptians. Glory to God. There was a famous bank robber some years ago, many years ago, that had everything planned out. It seemed he even jumped out of an airplane with the money and a parachute landed. He was never seen, never discovered for 30 some years. Until finally in recent years, he came out of the woodwork somewhere in South America and said, I don't know where exactly it was, but he had been in South America at one point, and he gave up because he couldn't stand it any longer. He had been on the run for all these years. He had, of course, the dream of money, whatever else. He never actually spent the bonds. They were all bonds that he had stolen. They were numbered bonds. He was too scared to even use them. He gave up the relationship with his wife because he never did in his mind, oh, we're going to be rich. I'll get my wife and family. He lost his relationship with his wife. He lost his relationship with his children. He never got to see his grandchildren born. He never got to see any of that because he was always on the run. Even in the advent of internet and those kind of things, he stayed away from the internet and did not have, because he did not want any way for it to become traced or his face to be identified so that he would not go to prison for his crime. But in all of his computing of things, he did not realize that it was a federal institution that he had robbed. And in the United States, there are what we call, or they have, we don't have them here, but they have statutes of limitations. And federal institutions are different than state institutions, which are different than secular institutions and state institutions. There is a federal law that says the statute of limitations is 5 years. In other words, the Attorney General or the Attorney of the United States cannot press charges against somebody when the crime was committed over 5 years ago. And this guy had been running for over 30 years. Even the Attorney General, because of it being a federal law, cannot press charges. It's done. And here is this guy running for all those years, running in fear when he was basically, you could say he was pardoned by the king. Friends, do you understand what it means for us to be pardoned by the king? Do you understand that the enemy has nothing on you except lies? But you can allow guilt and shame and stuff to grow up in your life, and you can no longer see the grace of God, and you can no longer see God's sovereignty, what He has done in your life, that it's still flowing, it's still true. The law is the same. Amen. I mean, the law of the statute of limitations is 5 years. It didn't change. It doesn't move back and forth. The law was the law. It was this man that could not see his own freedom. It was this man that could not see the victory. It was this man that could not see his own way through because of his all-encompassing guilt. Friends, let the Lord do a bulldoze with the blood of Jesus Christ in your life. Let the Lord take the shame away. Let the Lord take the guilt away. You know, if we are in Christ, there is now, therefore, no condemnation. Is that a familiar verse to you? You see, if you can get a picture of God's grace flowing, hallelujah, and know, oh boy, you know, it's already flowing. The grace of God is flowing, whether I believe it or not, or whether I think of it or not, or whether I'm experiencing it or sensing a manifestation of it or not. It's flowing and it's continually flowing. Lord, let me see His grace, that I might experience that view, that I may walk in the truth of what is happening all the time in Almighty God. Amen. Somebody say glory. When you get a clear path to it, when you get a clear path, you can see the victory that is yours to claim. 1 John 1:9, Brother John, God bless him. He always talks about the little children, little children, little children. I call you little children too. Because we're children of the Heavenly Father. 1 John 1:9, you know it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous. Old King James, just. To forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is available there and it is flowing all the time. That is all, it's already done. It's already available. But can you see your way through it? What is it that's getting in your way? What trauma that took place in your life? What sin have you committed? What thing is so great that you cannot allow yourself to see the grace of God is flowing for you? Hallelujah. Satan loves to deceive us. In fact, his only power is the power of deception to get us not to believe the word and not therefore to see the overflow of God's grace. You need a lawyer? Chapter 2, verse 1 says, we have a lawyer with the Father. I got a lawyer. Yeah, we paid him too much. But, you know, Jesus, He paid the price for us. We have an advocate with the Father, the same Christ Jesus, our Lord, who doth make intercession for us. Hallelujah. He is our advocate. He's there with us. You know, if we want to see God's grace, He will cut down the way for us. He will allow us to see the grace. Just turn around and turn to Him. You know, in the desert, they were dying because of snake bite. And the Lord, in His mercy, gave an opportunity for Moses. He said, put up a brazen snake. Put it up on a post. And all that look to it will live. Look and live. Look and live. Look and live. How foolish would you be to have a snake bite in your leg and the opportunity is just look over there and you will see the overflow of God. No, I'm going to look right here. I'm going to look down at my snake bite. How foolish would you be to die because of the lack of look? Die in the desert because of lack of look. Look and behold the grace of God. 2 Corinthians 2:11 understands forgiveness. He says this, Paul says this in chapter 2. He says, lest Satan should take an advantage. Now, the previous verses are about forgiveness, all right? That's one way that people let stuff grow up so they don't see the grace of God. It's not just they don't accept the forgiveness that God has for us, but also they don't forgive. You don't walk in it. You don't walk in forgiveness. And so he says, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant
of his devices.
This is King James glory. The Greek word for ignorance simply means anti-knowledge. You know, it means opposed to knowledge or the opposite of knowledge. And some, it's called the opposite of light. It's darkness. It's blindness. It's ignorance. Ignorance, darkness, blindness. Satan, we don't want to be blind of his devices, and his greatest device is simply to get us to look away. Simply to allow things to grow up in our lives that will put distance between us and what is always going on and is always there for us. Satan's devices are to cloud the pathway with things. Prevent you from seeing the way of victory. Often you won't see it until you first hear it in your spirit. Amen? I'm getting spiritual here. You say, I can't see it anymore. Friends, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it ain't there. Amen? Just because you can't see God's forgiveness, just because you can't see God's grace, just because you're in such a cloud because the devil has given you a whammy and you've gotten turned around, you've gotten involved in this, that, or the other, and you're hiding this or that in your own spiritual life, and you're no longer able to see that stuff which God has done for you, it does not mean it's not there. Amen. Do you know that when it's a cloudy day, the sun is still out there? Amen. And so is the overflow of God available to us. And the first one that will hear it is your spirit. Ooh. Your spirit will pick it up. I hear it. And it'll give you a longing to experience it. Amen. May his spirit speak to your spirit and reveal what has grown up to prevent you from seeing the victory that is in Christ. Repentance is not just the plow share, the plow blade that breaks up the fallow ground. It's the bush hog that clears the way. Amen. I'm giving farmer illustrations here. All right. It's the bush hog. I'm trying to think of another. It clears the way. Gets rid of that brush, that stuff that's in the way, so you can see what God is doing. Amen. The second thing I want to share is clear the way, and you will see an overflow of God's provision. Psalm 132 verse 15. Back in the Psalms. Psalm 132 verse 15 says this: I will abundantly bless her provision. Who's her? Zion. In the other verses. The children of God, the church of Jesus Christ, Israel. I will satisfy her needy with bread. I will abundantly bless my people. When the average person comes up to you and say, listen, I want to really bless you, and they go for their wallet, you go, you look at them and you think, you judge them, you know, you go, well, they're a $50 blessing. You know? There's a 10 buck blessing coming my way based on who I know them pretty well. I've seen them tip their waitresses. Oh, if they're going to abundantly bless me, that could be a $10 blessing, you know. Or somebody else, you look and size them up and, you know what they got in the bank, maybe. You don't know, but I mean, you kind of guess. You kind of look the car they drive and the job that they have, and you say, that's a $50 blessing. Woo! You know, somebody else maybe is a $100. Maybe there's somebody out there. I feel like a televangelist all of a sudden. Anyways, somebody out there has a $1,000 bill. Somebody else has a $50. You know, anyways, not a televangelist. But you know what I'm saying? You judge somebody who says, listen, I'm going to abundantly bless you. You go, ooh, glory. Okay, this person's a $1,000 blessing. What about a billionaire comes to you and says, I really want to just lavish a blessing on you. And you know they're a billionaire. You get kind of expectations, don't you? You don't really think they're going to throw a $5 bill at your way. Now imagine the God of the universe, who created everything, everybody, comes to you. It's a collective because it's Zion. It's the people of God. It's the church. And he comes and he says, I want to abundantly bless.
What kind of expectation should you be able to have of God's blessing? Amen. You say this, I just don't see it. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. Friends, there is none so blind as those who will not see what God is doing for you and doing for me. You don't see it because you choose not to see it oftentimes. Because you don't see it as God blessing the body of Christ. You're talking about you just getting your own self world and think about me, 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 me. You got to see it a bit. If your selfishness is one of the things that grows up that we can't see the provision of God because we only see it for ourselves. My bank account, my car, my house, my kids. God, this is where we deposit the blessing. You got to see yourself as part of the body of Jesus Christ. And when God blesses anyone of the body of Christ, He's blessing you because you're part of the body of Christ. When God brings a healing in the whole body of Christ, just because you're limp in one leg, whatnot, hallelujah. You know, you thank God because He has provided provision of healing for the body of Christ. When one prospers, when one gets a victory, when one gets deliverance from demons, when one gets a victory over whatever it is, when one's marriage that was falling apart gets healed, you just rejoice and dance because God is providing for the body of Christ. Amen? Sometimes it's a matter of elevation we cannot see because we're in the storm. The story is told of a man that was a wealthy man, and he hired a jet to bring him to a meeting because he wanted to get there quick to that next business meeting. And so he hired a jet, and he was in looking out of his seat, and he saw lightning, and he saw flashing, and he saw all kinds of stuff, and there was turbulence. And he went into the cockpit of the pilot, and he said, listen, what's going on here? Is there anything you can do? He says, sir, just sit down and watch. So he went and he sat down, buckled his seat. And the plane went up, and it went to a height that was above all the storm. And it was all sunny day. Down below was all the storm raging, but right where they were, there was no storm. And he walked back. He was another guy, I guess, there. Walked back and says, now how does it look from there now? He said, it looks just fine. Sometimes we need to get a view where Christ is seated. Amen. Where He places us at a heavenly place. God has a provision, a plan of provision. You know, the psalmist says, you know, when he talked about it, I will eat in the presence of mine enemies. That is true. Sister was mentioning about it being here on earth. He says, he also says, my cup runneth over. Amen. Amen. My cup runneth over. Does your cup runneth over? Last one, finally. Clear the way so that you can see the harvest. Now, if it bothers you that they don't all have P, P, and P, then I give you an alternative, and that would be produce. All right? If that makes better sense to you, if things all line up and the world is all just so, okay. But it doesn't really fit in my mind, so I put harvest, all right? In Joshua chapter 3, verse 15, it says this, and you're saying, but you're doing gymnastics with the scriptures here today. Well, just join the ride. Just enjoy it. Joshua chapter 3 verse 15 says, and Jordan overfloweth its banks all the season of harvest. I'm afraid that the church, hey, I'm not just talking to you lads and ladies here, but the church of Jesus Christ has allowed so many things to grow up that we can no longer see the harvest. That we have become self-focused and trying to be self-sufficient. That we do things without God and then we get the glory and not God. Because if you do something that God inspires, He will get all the glory for it. But if you do stuff that you can do because you got the tools and the ability and the program and the cash and the buildings and whatever else to do it, then all you do is get the glory for it. I'm concerned for the Church of Jesus Christ that we've allowed stuff to grow up, even in our theology and our doctrines and whatever else, that we get into debating all kinds of stuff and it grows up that we forget to see the harvest. But to tell you what, the harvest is there all the time, friends. Whether you see it or not, the harvest is there all the time. Why do we exist? Well, there's a big question to answer in the last 2 minutes of the sermon. Why do we exist?
Acts chapter 17, Paul is debating with the philosophers, the highfalutin crowd, all right? He's at the Acropolis in Athens. And he actually quotes some of their dudes, some of their philosophers. Chapter 17, verse 26, he says this. He says, and he made from one man, now he's preaching the word here, every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. God's got it. And this is the point, that they would seek God if perhaps they might grope for him and find him. New American Standard Version. Though he is never far from any one of us. Right there. He ain't far. That's why the gospel is so good. And it's so real. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What kind of hoops do I have to jump through? What kind of sacrifices do I have to give? What kind of ceremonies do I have to go through to get to Jesus? He ain't far from us. Can you see him? People say, I can't see him. I can't see him. He's right there. That they would come to each, for in him we live and move and we exist. That's New American Standard. King James says, in him we live and move and have our being. Even as some of your own prophets, or he says poets, but for the Athenians, the poets were the prophets of their day. He says, even as some of your guys have said, you know, without God, we exist. We exist that people may seek God and find him, and he's not very far from any one of us. The woman at the well that came to Jesus, the boys didn't quite get it, but after she had experienced Jesus, she went back and brought some folks. Quite a few folks to the feet of Jesus. And when the boys, the disciples, were all there gathered with Jesus, he pointed up as the crowd, we believe, that's we're reading into the scripture a little bit, but we see the crowd coming, and he points to the hill, and he says, behold, the wheat is white unto harvest. Do you see it? Jesus points. And I guess what we have to do, one of the reasons why we can't see the harvest is we're not looking where Jesus is pointing. Ouch. Ouch. Because Jesus is pointing, and it's very clear. He says, behold, lads, there's the harvest. It's white on the harvest. Now you pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into that harvest field. A.K.A. you get up there and do it. Do you see the harvest around you? If you can't see it, can you hear it? When I was a little boy, went to church. You knew that, didn't you? And our Irish preachers, we always had Irish preachers from Northern Ireland, as you know. And their illustrations were all from Scotland or somewhere else, you know, whatnot. I teased my former pastor is 87 years old. He now attends our weekly Bible study in my home, so it's kind of neat. But one of the illustrations, I remember him. I remember some of these stories when I was a kid. He was talking about a wee lad who became a great missionary. I forget his name. But he was on the streets of Glasgow with his mom, and they were from out in the country, and he had never been to the city before. And there was people everywhere. And he said, he grabbed and tugged his mummy's dress and said, Mummy, can you hear it? Can you hear it? And she says, what do you hear? He says, everywhere I hear the tromp, tromp, tromp of people on their way to hell. Oh, that's what you hear, kid? If we can't see the harvest, it's because we're not looking where Jesus is pointing. And we are supposed to be followers of Jesus. Clear the way with repentance.
Is there something that needs to be cut down in your life? Is there something that's grown up? Is there an issue? Is there a habitual sin? Has something come that you can't see? The grace of God, the love of God, the forgiveness, the wonderful things that are flowing continuously from Almighty God. Cut them down. Can you not see what's going on? Can you not see the wonderful provision of Almighty God because you're so caught in your own circumstances and your own storm? Then let the Lord raise you up a little higher. Can you not see the harvest? Those that are lost, those that need Jesus that are around us. You can't see that. You can't see the desperate state that they are in without God. That there is no hope in this world unless you have Christ. Let's get that straight. Amen. You don't got nothing unless you got Jesus. Forgive my grammar, mother. Then maybe you should start looking unto Jesus. Get a clear picture of Jesus and see where he's pointing. There's an old hymn. You're not going to sing it because I wouldn't do that to you. There was a great old Methodist, actually a Negro preacher who was, he was born a slave. As C.A. Tinley. He wrote a great hymn. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. So that his blessed face may be seen, nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear. Let nothing between. Pastor Dan, come, close us. Thank you, Jesus.
I just want to pray into the Word. Father, I thank you for the words that were shared. Pastor Bruce sharing his heart, sharing what God has been speaking to him. And God, I pray that the truths from Scripture, those things that you have established in your Word, that as we repent, as
Jesus,
that you cleanse us. 1 John 1:9 is so clear. So Lord, for those that are needing just that encouragement to just lay it down at the feet of Jesus, that the Word declares and says to us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all, to cleanse us of unrighteousness. So we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that we can clear the path, that you give us this incredible tool, this opportunity to repent and to draw near. You allow us that, Father. I thank you so much. I thank you for your provision, Lord, that God, sometimes we don't see it. We look at our own bank accounts. We look at our circumstances, and we're very, our eyes are narrow. But God, help us to trust you. Help us to know that you have all things provided for us. That you're our Father who loves his children deeply and is always going to give us what we need. Maybe not what we want, but is always going to give us what we need. And there's an overflow from the throne of heaven.
Yes, Lord.
A provision that's available to us, a perfect provision. Help us to trust all that you're doing. And Father, I pray that you would stir our hearts as a people to be recognizing the lost around us. That we would actually get up and speak to our neighbors. That we would be convicted by your Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
To be praying and asking God to open doors for conversations with our neighbors and coworkers and our families and our friends. That there would be a cry in our heart, pressed by your Spirit, to see the need, the desperate need, the chains of bondage and addiction that are on so many, and how you offer hope and freedom to each one. But it comes through the gospel. It comes through hearing and receiving Jesus. Help us to share that amazing truth with the world, to not hold it in. Holy Spirit, move us and implore us to share, to open our mouths with the truths of the gospel. Move us, Lord, as a church, not just as individuals, Lord, but as a church, as a community, that we would come alongside one another in this. And as a family, we would look to share the gospel with all those around us. Move us, Lord. Thank you for all that you've shared, Lord. Let your truth resonate in our hearts. May it continue to just bear fruit in our lives this week and beyond. Would you just continue to minister to our hearts as we even leave this morning? Your Holy Spirit convicting us, imploring us, challenging us. We continue to just say, Lord, have your way. I pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, the altar here at Harmony is always open. If you want to come and pray, we'd love to pray for you. If there's things that you're wrestling with that you just need to talk to somebody about, we'll be available for you to pray for you and minister. So I'll give a benediction and you can be free to go this morning. But again, if you want to stay and pray, the altars are open. So Father, I pray that as your people go this morning, that they would go in your power, in your truth, that your peace would just be pouring over each one this morning, that your Holy Spirit would be convicting hearts, and that they would be going knowing the salvation that you have purchased for them, knowing the grace that is available to them, knowing the provision that is for them, and knowing that the challenge that lies ahead for each one of us as a child. May we go in your name this morning, in Jesus' name.